It's like a symphony. There are about 16 or 18 principles underpinning CST. So in our training, we go through each of these principles because that's informed how we deliver the treatment and the activity. But I think I find activities that requires the person to plan and be creative and come up with ideas. Those are the activities participants usually enjoy. And as the facilitator, it's great to see that participation.
Welcome to the Dementia Research Project. I'm Matt DeRay, and in this podcast, I explore the history, innovation, and champions in and around the world of dementia.
Dr. Gary Chung is an associate professor in psychiatry at the University of Auckland. He conducts research in the field of old age psychiatry and has been instrumental in introducing to New Zealand cognitive stimulation therapy, an evidence-based non-pharmacological intervention for dementia.
Hello, Matthew. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for your time. How's everything in Auckland?
It's winter time here. We're sitting 15, 16 degrees, but spring is around the corner.
Oh, fantastic. It's a warm and humid 33 degrees here in Kuala Lumpur. To begin with, Dr. Gary, do you mind telling us a bit of your background and what led you to specialize in old age psychiatry?
Yeah. So I'm a psychiatrist specialized in older people. So old age psychiatry is the term we use this part of the world. In America, or most people will use geriatric psychiatry as the name of the discipline. So it's in psychiatry, but specialized in older people. So half of my clinical work involves seeing people with dementia, and then the other half, older people with mental health problems. And I've always worked with older people. So I've been a psychiatrist for, this Friday is 20 years since I had my fellowship in psychiatry. But the reason I joined and started my training in psychiatry was because I want to specialize working with older people, particularly around the impact of physical problems, so physical health problems, and how that impacts on their emotional health and mental well-being. And of course, dementia is a large part of my work. I find it particular people with very mild symptoms of dementia. And when we have to work out, is this dementia? Is it normal aging? Is it another condition causing these memory issues? That work out in the investigation and the assessment. I find that the challenging area that challenged my brain. So I find that working out, because we can't really, there are investigations like CT brain scan, MRI scan that can help our diagnosis. But really, the diagnosis, we have to see the person, see the family, look at the medical records, look at all the investigation and put it all together as a package, kind of. Because we don't want to make the wrong diagnosis, because it's a serious diagnosis. Yeah.
And how did your path lead to cognitive stimulation therapy?
Okay. I've told this story many times, so it's good to get this recorded. Because I do training facilitator in cognitive stimulation therapy. Here I'll just call it CST for short. About 10 years ago, the Alzheimer's Society in Auckland asked me to do a talk on the benefits of early diagnosis of dementia. And at the time I said, oh yeah, I'll take up the invite. But I was a bit selfish because I wanted to update my knowledge of the benefits. So I said to myself, I haven't done this topic for a while, so let's take that as a challenge and read about it. Then I came across, during my reading, I came across the World Alzheimer's Report 2011 and talk about CST. And I looked at that, I thought, what is this treatment? Because in the World Alzheimer's Report, they talk about CST as the effectiveness is as good as some of the anti-dementia medication in terms of helping memory and thinking ability, the quality of life. And I said, gosh, I know nothing about this treatment. And I said, why are we not delivering this treatment in New Zealand? So that started my journey to learn about it. I've got a colleague, Dr. Kathy Perry from School of Nursing at the University of Auckland. We went up to the UK at University College of London and learned CST from Professor Amy Spector. She is a psychologist who developed CST. Yes, so that started our journey and we brought it back to New Zealand and been training people to deliver CST for 10 years now.
For those who may not be so familiar about what CST is, could you describe it and what it entails?
Yes. So CST is a non-pharmacological treatment. It's a group treatment. Usually with 6 to 8 people with mild to moderate dementia. They come together with 2 facilitators. The training I do is to train the facilitators so they can deliver this evidence-based treatment. People with dementia come together twice a week for 7 weeks, and each time they meet for an hour. And it's a very busy hour, very structured. So when we train the facilitators, we will go through how to structure the hour, what to deliver, and usually involves, of course, cognitive stimulation. Stimulating activities to get the participants to discuss, express their opinion, and some reminiscence as well, and orientation to the now. Yeah, it's a busy time, but really to get the brain going. Because what happens is often people with dementia, their language skills get affected, and they're not expressed as much as before, and often that become a habit. And sometimes we see family help the person with dementia as well and taking over, not intentionally, but helping. But sometimes that get into a habit. So the family talk on behalf of the person with dementia. I think most of our work in this field have seen that. So CST do the opposite. The people with dementia come together and we give them the time and the space to express their opinion and involved in cognitively stimulating activities.
You mentioned one term that I wasn't quite familiar with, orientation to the now.
Oh, yes. So that's a orientation to the now. It's about some people with dementia, often because of the memory loss, they forget what the date is, what's going on in their community. What is the time, the season? So that's the now. So in CST, we specifically reorientate them to now. So we go through, at the beginning of the sessions, we will ask them, what is today's date? What is the weather? What is the month? Do all that thing. But not as a test, but bring them to now, because they're quite welcome to use their mobile phone to look up the dates. We do that, don't we? And a lot of people now use, young and old people all use smartphones, or they may, you know, after a couple of sessions, people actually do their homework. They bring in a little notebook because they know we're going to ask them what is the date and the place and the season. They get to the habit to learn about orientation to now. And that's important because this is what's happening right now, here and now.
Yeah. In a sense, that's the grounding they need prior to any session. Got it.
Yeah. At the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Got it. You mentioned there's almost an assortment of different types of activities. So reminiscence, memory, music. Is there any particular activity that you see drives a lot more impact than the others? Or is it just in combination, it all works like a symphony?
Yeah, it's like a symphony. So that's about 16. Is it 16 or 18? I can never remember. There are about 16 or 18 principles underpinning CST. So in our training, we go through each of these principles because that's informed the how we deliver the treatment and the activity. But I think I find activities that requires the person to plan and be creative and come up with ideas, those are the activities participants usually enjoy. And as the facilitator, it's great to see that participation here.
Got it. In terms of the people facilitating, Can these be caregivers with maybe no prior medical training? Who's the audience for a lot of these trainings?
Yeah, so it can be delivered by lay people or caregivers. The majority of the people come to our training have health backgrounds. So nurse, psychologists, occupational therapists, social workers, some caregivers working in nursing homes. Yes, we have family members who come to our training. We have chaplains. Yeah. And the manual, which you can buy online. You can follow the manual, actually. And it's a very simple manual, step by step, to deliver the treatment.
How do you think about adapting the training to people from different cultures, but also the different stages of dementia?
Yes. Let's talk about different cultures. CST was initially developed in the UK. So when you buy the menu, it's very UK orientated. So some of the activities, for example, one of the activities called Faces and Scenes, and we show participants famous people's faces, the Queen, the Prince, or the King now. So very UK orientated, because these are the people who live in UK now. So when you adapt that to a different culture, so in Malaysia, I'm not sure, I don't know your culture and your country well enough, you will have different sets of famous people everybody knows about. So we've done, in New Zealand, we've done adaptation for Māori are our indigenous people. So there's this different menu and different activities for Māori. Having said that, the structure and the each session has a topic. So the topics are the same, but really the ingredients are different. And I gave you an example of the different phases you were shown. Right now we are, because New Zealand is a multicultural country, so we have Māori with Pacific peoples from the Pacific Islands, but also Chinese and Indian, but like Malaysia. So right now we are adapting CST. I wouldn't say adapting, we are implementing CST for Chinese and Indian living in New Zealand. I said that we're not adapting because it's already been adapted in India and in China. And so we are using their menu, but we still have to localize it, because in China, for example, there are two menus, one from Beijing and one from Hong Kong. Different cultures. I grew up in Hong Kong till my mid-teens. So different culture and two different menus, actually. But in New Zealand, the Chinese come from everywhere. We have Chinese from Hong Kong, mainland China, Malaysia, Singapore. We really have to think hard about, of course, we can't have one size doesn't fit all. And really depending on the group, isn't that? So I might run one group for Chinese. They may be all from Malaysia. The next group I run, maybe they're all from Singapore. You see what I mean? But the language is the important part. So for Chinese, we have Mandarin speaking and Cantonese speaking. And I'm sure there are the other dialects that are not meeting their needs. But that's somewhere we're starting. Yeah.
As far as adapting for the different stages of dementia, how do you think about that? Because I suppose delivering to somebody in the early stages is a very different experience from somebody in latter stages.
Yeah. So in research setting, it's very strict. CST in the research setting is for people for mild to moderate dementia. And there are specific cognitive testing we can use to determine whether the person has mild or moderate dementia. Not for people with severe dementia, because a lot of activities require the persons to express themselves. And often people with more severe stage of dementia, their language abilities get affected and they can't participate in the discussion. Now that's in the strict research setting. These days, we will say, give it a go, because there's no harm. But we will alert the family and the person may not get benefit. No harm giving a try. It's not like medication. You have to take a tablet and you might get side effects. There's no side effect from CST. Yeah. And the person have to want to come. We can't force someone to come. So if the pit poison wants to give it a go, now I'll say, oh, come and give it a try. Because people, the research also say people's language ability can improve through the treatment. So we don't forget that.
I was curious, what have been some of the key findings which have helped promote the benefits of CST for wider adoption?
Okay, the benefits. So if we look at the research, the benefits is for thinking and memory ability. So in the research setting, participants get a memory and thinking test before and after the intervention. And there's significant improvement in their memory and thinking abilities. So the memory improved, for example. Also, their quality of life improved as well. So those are the two key outcomes that we know from CST. Yeah.
Which leads me to my follow-up question. What is the role of CST in the New Zealand care system for dementia? Is this something doctors or first visits to neurologists, is it something they tell their patients to go to?
Good question. I had about 3 meetings today about the implementation of CST in New Zealand. My role is to train the facilitators, and we leave the facilitator to go back to their workplace and implement it. We've been doing that for 10 years. Unfortunately, it hasn't been that successful in terms of people going back to their workplace and get funding, because New Zealand is a mainly public health system. We have a limited health budget, and that needs to be meet all health needs. CST in New Zealand, it is in our dementia action plan. The current New Zealand dementia action plan includes CST as one of the post-diagnostic support. Now, it's in the plan, but there's no funding attached to it. So that's the challenge we have. And yeah, some of the meetings I involved today is to see, well, do we actually need to change our model? We may actually need to help our facilitator to get funding. That's another story. But because it is in the action plan, and in New Zealand, most of the dementia diagnosis is made in primary care, so general practitioner, and we have what we call cognitive impairment pathway. So these pathway guide GP when someone presents with memory issues, present to the GP can follow this guide and the pathway. What assessment do I need to do? What investigation do I need to do? Okay, this person have a diagnosed dementia. These are the management plan. Now, CST is one of the management in the management plan. But again, like I said before, there is no funding. So across New Zealand, there are some regions have funding. They get the funding through charity organizations. One place in New Zealand have some public funding. That's exceptional. I don't know how they got it.
Yeah.
So this is different from the UK, because most of the in UK people go to memory clinics, part of the NHS, and about 75% of the NHS deliver CST as soon as the person have a diagnosis of dementia. So they go on, they have a diagnosis of dementia, they go on a wait list to have CST as part of the core business of the NHS. We love to have that system. And yeah.
So what have the UK, why have they made this move in New Zealand and like many other countries, Malaysia being one of them? Do not.
Well, the treatment started in the UK, but also the treatment made it to the NICE guideline. So what does NICE stand for? National something clinical, National Institute of Clinical Excellence, I think. So the NICE guidelines includes evidence-based treatment for all health interventions and also assessment and management. So CST is in the NICE guideline. I don't know the system well enough, but I've been told that if your treatment made it to the NICE guideline, the NHS have the obligation to deliver it.
Understood. Okay. In terms of CST impact to people with dementia, that's one part of it, but can you speak to the impact to caregivers?
Impact on caregivers. Probably not direct impact on the caregiver, But caregivers often come back and talk to us after a few, after the person's been through a CST sessions a few times, they say, oh, my husband or my wife is more talkative when they're at home. They talk about some of the old interests again, and they are less empathetic. So they're more reactive and more stimulated. So the effect during the sessions carry over to the home environment. And I guess that can reduce, I don't think that was measured directly, but it can reduce carer stress because often empathy can cause carer stress. But yeah, it hasn't been looked at directly like that, but certainly that's, we had sort of conversation from caregivers talk about that. Yeah.
Right. Switching gears a bit, how do you think of the use of technology in really taking CST to the next level in terms of distributing to a wider audience or changing of delivery?
Yes. So thank you for COVID pandemic. What happened was during COVID was a lot of CST groups around the world, they can't meet. So what do we do? So they move online, a lot of countries use Zoom as a platform. So groups move online. And in fact, that was what happened here. That was sort of March, April, 2020 in New Zealand, when we have our first lockdown. And we have up and down the country, we probably have about 10 regions that were delivering CST. And they email me saying, what do we do now? The groups can't meet. And they love meeting. So the facilitators emailed me and I said, you can move on. Everything is moving online. Remember those days, everything moved on Zoom. And I said, no reason. And some facilitators, oh, can we move online? And I said, it's never been done before. And I email our colleagues in the UK and other parts of the world saying, no one's doing that. But what's the harm? So give it a go. So that was what happened. Virtual CST was born during the pandemic. And there's been one small clinical trial in the UK as a small trial, and they didn't find virtual CST as helpful as the in-person. There's a larger trial going on in Hong Kong right now. They're halfway through the trial. I can't tell you the result. We haven't finished yet. But there's some preliminary result, but I can't disclose those results here yet. So that's ongoing. I just came back from the Alzheimer's Association International Conference in Philadelphia, and I caught up with the CST colleagues from New York City. And in the last 3 years, her organization, and her organization is a community organization supporting people with dementia and their carers. She's delivered 150 virtual CST to about 150 people in New York, and have good reason from that. Yeah, so that's the next level, really. And we just put in the grant funding here in New Zealand to test virtual CST in the clinical trials. Whether we or not we get that grant, we don't know, but that's the next phase of CST. Having said that, I think, and we can't disagree, in-person meeting is a lot better. But there's a role for virtual. Otherwise, I won't be meeting you, Matthew.
Exactly. You spoke about EEIC, Dr. Gary. What was the key takeaway for you from that conference?
Right, from the conference. There's a lots of talks on anti-amyloid treatment. And that's a hit at the moment. So I went to quite a few talks about that. That's helpful. I get to know about the treatment a bit more. And I don't want to say any more about that. People can learn about anti-amyloid treatments elsewhere. AIC have a lot of scientific presentations. Having said that, there is a growing number of non-pharmacological talks. The last one I just been to, compared to the one 20 years ago, I remember there was not many non-pharmacological talks.
And you've seen that evolution, that growth over the last... That's
good news.
That is good news.
Yeah.
In your CSD practice, how do you think about partnerships, collaborations to drive forward this initiative?
Yes, the cross-country is an idea I've been thinking for a while, since COVID really. Because imagine people in New Zealand, Chinese, I've just used China as an example. Imagine Chinese living in New Zealand can have a virtual session with Chinese living in China who have dementia, their region they come from. Because it's important having the connection and certainly with the language. It hasn't happened yet. The time difference making it a bit harder to coordinate. Even within the country, New Zealand is not a big country, but it's not a small country either. So we have to fly to places, and having virtual CSD is useful to connect people from other parts of like rural areas. They may not have enough participants for in-person group, so that may be useful. Yes, we have in terms of international collaboration, we have our international CST conference every 2 years. So I've just been to the one in Hong Kong in June. That was very hot back then. 33-34 degrees, that attracted international trainers to come together. So that happens every 2 years.
If you don't mind, Dr. Gary, taking out your crystal ball and imagining the future, where do you hope and see it going in terms of adoption? Or I'll keep the question broad so you can take it anyway if you like.
Yes, for the future, I think the first thing we need to sort out is the funding. I think that's critical. In fact, I was talking to I can't remember where the comments came from at the international conference. And I think eventually now my advice is talk to the funder before doing any training. Make sure that, because we can train easy. The training is one day training. That's very easy. But so I really want to see there's some dedicated funding for CST. In terms of the intervention itself, exploring virtual, but I still think the in-person is better. I think as a facilitator, I enjoy more facilitator than group. But virtual is important for people living in rural areas. And also people can travel because, say, they have mobility issues. So there is a role for that. And there's some work going on just now in Hong Kong using virtual reality and standardize the experience. And that research is in infancy. Yeah. And also thinking about different age people with dementia with different age groups who, isn't it? One of my interests is people with young onset dementia. So they're in their 40s and 50s. So we need to think about, yes, we can use CST, but the activities, we need to change that because they're not as challenging probably, huh? The virtual reality, I thought that would be a perfect for the younger group. Colleagues in Denmark, they have tried using CST for people with Down syndrome and develops dementia. That has some success there as well. So I'm just thinking, moving forward, there are people with different types of dementia, different age groups, different cultural groups, different, yeah, so...
Right.
Just meeting everyone's needs will be quite a wide fault here.
There's a lot of work, good work left to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Fantastic. For anybody who wants to learn more about CST, what resources would you recommend? Would you direct them to?
Yeah. So if you do go UCL, University College of London, and Cognitive Stimulation Therapy, that will take you to the international webpage that have information of cognitive stimulation therapy, and also countries that deliver CST. You can find that on the UCL website. There's some good YouTube clips from St. Louis University in the US. So if you just Google St. Louis University cognitive stimulation therapy YouTube, you should find some really good videos made by my colleagues in St. Louis.
Got it. This has been a really terrific 40 minutes. Can't do justice to the breadth, the depth of this discipline, but I think it's a good primer at the very least.
That's right. And during our training, also some introduction talk I've done is to show a video of a session. And I think that really brings it to life. We can't do that some on the podcast, but you probably can see that on some of those St. Louis University YouTube clips. There'll be some.
Got it. If I can find them, I'll add them into the podcast description.
It's a fun activity, fun treatment. Actually, when we train the facilitator, saying, if it's no fun, you're not doing your job properly. So imagine people with dementia laughing away coming to the session.
Yeah.
How do people reach out to you, Dr. Gary? Just say there's a person across the world who wants to learn about CSD or maybe wants training.
Yes. Right? Training in New Zealand, you can come to me. But if you go to the UCL website, it has all our contact details there. Matthew, you're welcome to put my email address with your podcast. People can email directly. Quite happy with that. Hopefully your podcast will be listened by people in different parts of the world. And yeah, the UCL international website will be used for, they find out where their local place they can offer this.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Dr. Gary, thank you so much for your time. This has been really interesting.
You're welcome, Matthew.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of these type of stories, interviews, and guests, please follow the Dementia Research Project wherever you get your podcasts. Onwards and upwards.